Today, it's Tony Lecantro's Christmas Box. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Lizards World, that is post covering finance and property news. Tony, welcome back. Boxing Day. Hope you had a good Christmas. And we should say seasonal greetings to all our followers, watchers, viewers. Lots to talk about.
Oh, what a year it's been. It's just a fascinating year, no doubt. Highlights and unfortunately some lowlights for many of us, Martin. And but I'm here to attack it and tell it how it is. My forecasts aren't the most, they're not rosy. It's not all champagnes and chocolates. So yeah, looking forward to another exciting year, but I think whilst 2025 has been probably not as turbulent, we did get a bit of a correction earlier in the year. I think 2026 could be a bit of a shit show on many fronts. So yeah, I look forward to getting stuck into a very worthwhile discussion.
Well, thank you, Tony. And yes, this year has been very interesting because we had the market wobbles earlier in the year, and particularly around the trade Trump thing. And then, of course, markets have been quite strong. In fact, pretty much all markets, bond yields, of course, have been higher. So bond prices have fallen. Commodity prices have been very, very strong, too. And then we had the RBA decision to hold the rates and to warn about potential rate rises next year. We then had Chalmers coming out with the MyEFO, spinning it like billio, trying to claim that things were great when, in fact, when you look at the numbers, they're not naturally that great. And I have to say, Tony, I don't know what you think, but for a lot of ordinary Australians, this has not been a very comfortable year. And I fear that this coming year, 2026, will be equally uncomfortable for many.
I actually think it's going to be much worse, because there's a word in finance and life called complacency. And I think in relation to markets, property, stock markets, personal balance sheets, people have become complacent, just adopted that she'll be right, mate, Australian attitude, when it's time to actually get stuck into cost cutting, look at ways to sandbag your finances. I know I use that term a lot, but many out there just have regular jobs and don't have any levers to pull to make more money, because all the Uber driving and OnlyFans roles are taken. And it's a sad state of affairs, but I feel many are going to be relying on an inheritance or asking for the inheritance while their parents are still alive to survive. And, you know, you've got to rely on that or moving in with people you don't like. So difficult conditions ahead. And it only takes a few little financial mishaps in your own home, like a water heater or aircon or repairs, and to put your balance sheet in the red zone. So very dangerous times, and for many teetering on the edge. We've got sticky inflation. It was, what, 3.8%? RBA have come out and said, hey, wait a minute, no more cuts. You've got forecast interest rate rises next year into a rampant property and rental market with an overvalued stock market. You know, I think the one of the economic buzzwords for next year, which I'll talk about later, is going to be stagflation. And stagflation is an inflationary recession, and it's something that was rampant back in the early 70s. So very ugly times ahead for an over-leveraged population reliant on our most emotional asset.
Well, I think this is a really important conversation, not least because, of course, not all households are actually in the same boat. And one of the things that I go on about is there are some who've done really well with the stock markets this year and are sitting on considerable, paper value asset improvements at least. But there are a lot of other people who are hand to mouth and trying to get by. I see it in my surveys with about half of those with a mortgage really struggling with cash flow, but 75% of those in the rental market, again, struggling with cash flow. and they've got very little spare capacity to deal with these, well, these issues that are coming in. And of course, life events come as well, which don't always turn out positive. But just this continued process of continue to try and get by when in fact the overall economic settings are still not working very well for many people. Incomes are not growing in real terms, despite what Chalmers says. And whilst those prospects of asset price growth, if you've got houses, is there for those with houses, sometimes it's not quite as good as you might first think when you stand back and think about it. But of course, for those who don't have any, well, access to parents' wealth or anything like that, we're really in very, very uncertain times. And I know that you talk about being sandpapered to death, and that's probably a good way to get into your slides, Tony, because I think we need to understand what that actually means in practice.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's pretty much my main slide, and that's going to be the continued theme. And, you know, it's really the economic equivalent where you've got high costs of living, high housing costs, inflation that won't go away. You know, you notice price increases in everything you pay for. Probably the only thing that really stabilized or dropped a bit has been fuel. But this is where you just don't want to be in this situation, because I don't think there's anything worse than, apart from an illness, than financial stress. And that leads to other stresses. It leads to domestic violence. I actually read somewhere, I think, might have been December the 12th was the worst day for domestic violence. I could be totally wrong with that. But again, it just does not bode well for Australians in this economy. And, you know, with the tone of the RBA, it's only going to get worse leading into it. So, you know, it's just one of those times where if you're struggling to survive, you might have to sell assets. But the best time to sell assets is when you don't really want to. And probably just post-COVID, that was the time to sell your spare bar fridges and treadmills. But it's certainly getting tough. I'm going to provide a disclaimer if there's anything I talk about, just to let people know that this is entirely general advice. I don't take into consideration your circumstances. But I've got out the old crystal ball, and here's my crystal ball for next year. I think the Aussie dollar is going to drop a bit. I think there's a chance we're going to touch 61 cents. I see two rate rises in 2026. I think at some point the cash rate is a chance of hitting 4.1%. People are going to say, well, that's high. But relatively speaking, the long-term average of the RBA cash rate is above 6%, and the average long-term mortgage rate is 9.41%. I mean, put that in your survival percentages, and you'll see that not many would be able to survive on that rate. I see a poor year for the US stock market. The US stock market has been up around, the Dow has been up around that 48,000 level. I see that dropping 10 to 12%. I see the S&P 500, which is largely the Magnificent Seven, and actually the S&P 500 is 503 stocks. So that has been driven by the AI boom. And I think the S&P 500 has had rises in the order of 15, 16% this year. I think in 2026, the AI bubble, if it's not going to pop completely, is certainly going to deflate. So I see a poor year for the S&P 500, as I said, in that range. Our market, if the US sneezes, we get pneumonia. I can see the All Ords and the ASX 200 coming down by 10 to 12%. I know this is quite a bearish case, but sometimes you have to be a realist. Sydney Property is on its way to a New Zealand-style, Canadian-style correction. So that spells a correction in the magnitude of 20 to 25%, but maybe 2026 we can just keep that down to 6 to 8% drop. I actually feel a little bit vulnerable going that conservative, but I'll stick with it. Melbourne property, well, Melbourne has had the crime epidemic, the machetes. It's been now regarded by many as not a great place to live, but there's going to be opportunities there. I see Melbourne dropping 8 to 10%. Perth property, Perth, I live roughly 7 kilometers from the city. Everything around me is getting snapped up pretty quick. The forecast for Perth, upside by some property experts, are north of 10%. I think a subdued environment, due mainly to the threat of interest rate rises, a slowdown in the commodities just a little bit, is only going to see Perth rise between 2 and 4%. But again, there is some risk to the downside. And looking at the AFL, I've picked the Brisbane Lions to beat the Sydney Swans. I think the Swans are going to have a bit of a bounce after the disappointing year last year. And I think finally the Melbourne Storm are going to crack it and they'll get over the top of the Penrith Panthers. So what I did, I took my crystal ball predictions and then I asked Grok. So this is Tony Lecantro versus Grok. And there, those are the forecasts. So Grok reckons the Australian dollar 67, RBA cash rate of 3.8, obviously 4.1. Grok forecasts good rises for both Sydney, Melbourne, a substantial rise for Perth property, a nice big bounce there for the All Ordinaries ASX 200. S&P, Grok's pretty much gone the wrong direction, different direction to me. Same with the Dow. My economic buzzword for next year is stagflation. Grok has gone AI boom. And interestingly, Grok's picked Hawthorn to beat Brisbane, Penrith over Melbourne, where my tips, as I mentioned, were Brisbane and the Melbourne Storm. So what Grok did is actually give me a little bit of reasoning behind his or her picks. So yeah, there you go. That's human intuition versus AI. Very interesting to see that AI. I was just watching Grok and the amount of searches that it was conducting, and it was quite frightening. It was going through all a plethora of websites, then actually started looking for the sports bet and tab odds on the AFL and NRL, and came up with Hawthorn, which I thought's an interest very, very interesting in pick. So anyway, something to consider there. I've been using ChatGPT and Grok a little bit to help me with some presentations. And all I can say is that I'm now tempted to grow my hair back so I can pull it out. Some of the responses I was getting back from ChatGPT, oh, Martin, I was trying to put together a research report for my stocks, and it kept coming back with old reports. It kept changing them. My partner Juliana said, you're going to have to improve your communication skills with ChatGPT. But at this point, just to get in there and use them, I don't see it as a huge threat. And I think, honestly, that the stock valuations around them are out of kilter and it's going to be a bubble.
It's really interesting that you've observed that, because I observe something very similar. I use these AI tools quite a lot for what I do. And about 6 months ago, I think we reached a bit of a pinnacle in terms of their capability. But they are getting worse. They're hallucinating more. They're actually creating false connections between things. So I think they're going backwards, which to me underscores what you've just said. The AI story is absolutely overhyped. And whilst there are clearly things that you can do with the AI things, they are not as spruiked by those people, of course, who've, well, they've probably bet 500 billion plus on investments in AI around the world. They've got an axe to grind. But when you actually talk to real users, I get the same story. They're actually going backwards in terms of capability. So that's a real interesting observation from your perspective too.
Well, it'll say to me, "Oh, Tony, I've changed this document for you." I open up the document and there's no changes.
Yes.
It's got no idea. And I ask for diagrams and it draws its own, and then it'll come back with, "Oh, it was that frustrating, just to put together that PDF document." And then you'll ask so many questions that all the free sites will say, "Well, you've got to wait this amount of time before you can ask more questions." But it's certainly limited. But I must admit that we used it to get through our 820 partner visa application recently. And it actually, the chat site gave us motivation. It kind of pretend, I don't know, it got to know us a little bit. And we were struggling through it, and it taught us how to merge all our photos and snaps and condense it all and to go through the steps. It was absolutely brilliant. But we provided all the inputs. Obviously, people have used that to do their partner visas, so it's become educated. But it was a real help for us. But with putting together simple stock market documents, oh my God, yeah. Grow my hair or put my head through a brick wall, but we were about to have a full-on domestic. So anyway, but I was going to mention, Martin, that a lot of my stock talk and precious metals talk was in that show. If you could go back to that slide on the 25th of November, I put a lot of effort into that. So we covered gold, silver. We covered my favorite stocks and a lot of the psychology. So I think if you want to get a bit of an update there, go back and watch that show. And I think for me, apart from having some stocks go vertical, probably the biggest highlight for me this year was winning a game off Pat Rafter at the Australian Paddle Masters in Melbourne. I mean, I kind of got imposter syndrome, but yeah, I managed to take a game off him. Paddle is the best sport on earth. Try it. Anyone, doesn't matter how old you are, it's a fantastic game. You get more dopamine hits, you get exercise, you get to meet people like Pat. And I'm going to have to admit that he's a nicer person as everyone thinks he is. And it's just unbelievable sport. But it's fun. The funny thing is that there was a major paddle court bubble in Sweden, and that's burst. And now they've got thousands of courts that aren't being used. So, again, like with anything that becomes popular, you're always going to get overinvestment. And I think that it has extended to most markets. And that's why we're in the everything bubble. And I see 2026 as being a very dangerous year.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, that's been very, very interesting. And I think it's good to sort of stand back and take stock at the end of the year. And I always encourage people to do that, think about what worked and what didn't work. But also, I think as we go into 2026, it's really important for people to sandbag their finances, as you say. You can't assume we're going to see a lot of rate cuts from this point going forward. You can't necessarily assume that the property markets are going to continue to go higher, nor indeed the stock markets. And for a lot of people, if that's the case, they're going to have real issues. But also, I think it's worth just highlighting, Tony, that it's really important to look at your own finances and just think about where is the money coming in, but also where is it going out to? Because I still see when I talk to my own people in the one-on-one conversations I have, or indeed through my surveys, there are a lot of people who don't have a sense of where the money goes. And I think the other piece of discipline that I would suggest people think about as they come up to the end of the old year and the beginning of the new is understand more about your finances, understand about what the interest rates are on your mortgage and your credit cards and those sorts of things, and just take more control. Because my observation is we can't expect the government to magically, click their fingers and everything is going to be fine. We're going to see more of the same old next year. And I think it's going to be coming back to financial discipline, coming back to basics, and just taking more control personally.
Couldn't agree more. And for me, the biggest risk for the property markets is the investors selling. Once they start to get the fear of losing some of their insane capital gains, I think it'll be like trying to suck an ocean through a straw. And that's the risk. And we've had examples in Canada and New Zealand of 20% plus falls. Admittedly, New Zealand has cut off the immigration somewhat, and they're adopting these policies to protect the local citizens. So that is working, and you're getting falls in the magnitude of 20%. I'm coming into my last year on a 5-year loan at 2.64%. So already I'm going to start looking at ways to get a better deal when I have to negotiate. But I think what the good thing for me is I'm going to have quite a low LVR, relatively speaking. So you always make sure that you put down at least 20%. But for me, living in Perth, that was attainable. But anyone elsewhere in Sydney or Melbourne, you've got Buckley's and Xero of doing that. But I know that my repayments are going to go up, but I'm going to get a decent deal. And again, look at just the rampant consumerism, where you're wasting your money. All the ornaments, trinkets. Now it doesn't matter if another one of my stocks goes vertical next year. I'm not going to buy a new car because it's going to be like getting a puppy. They're too hard to look after. So you just got to look at it. And I think where the streaming services have got us is they get us through not cancelling. That's the way they get us. So, there came a time there, Martin, where my greatest investment during the bad years was paying for rock concerts that got cancelled in COVID, and I actually got my money back. So that was a decent investment in those days. But I'm really looking forward to hopefully coming back in 2026 and just admiring what's going to happen in the finance world, what's going to happen with housing, what's going to happen on a social level, because it's certainly fascinating. But you'll see me with my stock market list. So follow me on social media. Go register at tonylocantro.com if you want more information. But I'll certainly be providing plenty of information, tips, and tidbits in 2026. So good luck to everyone. As they say, there's no friends when it comes to money. Maybe every family for themselves, and it's a jungle out there.
Tony, well, thank you so much for that thought. And I'm going to wish you and yours the very best for 2026 and also to all our viewers. And I look forward to having you back on the channel as we go through next year, which I think will be an interesting, turbulent, bumpy year. But it does come back to personal responsibility, personal accountability, and asking yourself some hard questions. So that's going to be my resolution for the new year.
Great, Martin. Look forward to it.
See you, Len. Cheers.